We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
About to get into the nine players under the most pressure entering the 2020 season. Do you agree? And we'll also have an NFL fact of the day that Eric wanted to get to at 8:20 when we went around the NFL. We didn't have time, so we're going to do it here as well. Before we get to that, though, some interesting news out of the college football world today, Eric, and that is that the Ivy League is reportedly considering moving football season to the spring. So according to TMG Sports, the second plan, which is gaining momentum because of the increasing number of positive COVID-19 cases in the country, would shut down football until next spring with a startup practice in March and another seven-game conference opponents only beginning in April and concluding in mid-May. So Heather Dinich, who covers college football for ESPN, spoke on this a little bit earlier in terms of what is the Ivy League's plan moving forward. And I wonder if other schools might look to do this, but specifically what's going on with the Ivy League here. Cut 23-0.
Well, on one hand, it's not unique at all, to be honest. And every conference commissioner that I've spoken with at every level has said that they are considering similar contingency plans in case the coronavirus derails the season or changes it in some way. That being said, the Ivy League is unique because, as you mentioned, it has more time on its side. Its season doesn't start until September 19th. And I spoke with Ivy League Executive Director Robin Harris recently, and she told me in that interview that that is going to benefit them. Their athletes don't return to campus for summer workouts like everybody else does, so they have time to sit back, watch, and see what happens with everybody else before they make any major decision.
So that's good for the Ivy League.
No, that is definitely an advantage. I mean, it's the advantage sort of that the NFL had over baseball.
Absolutely.
And the NBA, just more time to figure stuff out, learn from the mistakes of other people, other businesses, other leagues. And so the Ivy League doing the same thing. It is interesting, though, the Ivy League, they're the smartest league out there, right? And this is their plan. If this is what our geniuses are thinking of doing, maybe it is the right move. I think a lot of people are concerned if you do that, does the second wave come during flu season? Because all of this right now isn't even flu season. Does it get worse once you start talking about the fall and the winter and all the, so like that timing could be
weird.
And I
think that could be inevitable, really.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
so
for sure.
But to Heather Dinich's point, you know, this is something that she believes every single conference is also considering. They've got to have a contingency in place. And I think the Ivy League's much more willing to do that than, say, an SEC or a Big 12 that clearly grosses an abnormal amount of money for their programs in the fall with college football.
Yeah, no, that's also a really, really good point. When you have the mayor of Tuscaloosa with Alabama saying, dude, if we don't have football, we're going to lose, what was it, $2 billion
right.
in the economy, which is
And when
insane.
We talked to Ari about it, he said, man, I wouldn't be surprised if it was even more
yeah,
than that.
Yeah, that's true. And then we also got this today from John Talty saying that SEC Media Days will not take place July 13th through 16th as originally planned, and how long they'll be postponed until is still to be determined. So no SEC Media Days for all you SEC crazy fans out there that couldn't wait to hear from coaches and players. Sadly, not going to happen.
Specifically,
even though,
Coach O.
Well, there's that.
Go
but
Tigers.
Also, now there's Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach in the SEC.
Oh,
so this
such
probably
would have
been the most epic SEC Media Day potentially of all time.
Yeah.
And so we're all missing out on that, at least when it comes to July 13th. Through the 16th, maybe we'll get a Zoom style a little bit later on in the summer.
Okay, so the nine players under the most pressure heading into the 2020 season we're about to get into. But before that, I would love to get the NFL stat of the day.
Oh, okay. You want to do that right now?
I would love to. I'd love
All
to
right.
just get it in now.
Yeah,
and then we can move into
in.
Do we agree with these players under pressure?
I think that's oftentimes just a general
under pressure.
Good idea. You know, like, let's just get it in. Like, why not? What are we waiting on?
Why not?
So here it is. This comes. Now, this is a tweet that somehow resurfaced. And this comes back from around this time, late June of 2 years ago. 2018, okay, when I got this stat. So, well, I got it today, but when the original tweet went out about the stat from Adam Harstad on the Twitter, it was in 2018, almost 2 years ago to the day. So I will ask you this. How many or receiving after the age of 40 years old, how many players in NFL history, and this is a bit of a trick question, have...
Why is it a trick question?
Have caught a pass after the age of 40 years old.
Is it a trick question because Josh McCown's one of them?
No, it is not a trick question.
I was just trying to think of like
one of them.
Maybe one of the, you know, and he did play some wide receivers.
Well, just because I don't like, this is going to be a little bit tough and this is going to be.
How many wide receivers 40 or older have caught a pass, just a single pass?
Just how many NFL players have caught a pass over the age of 40?
I'd say five.
You'd say five. Okay, so the answer's three.
Okay.
Now, who do you think those people are?
Jerry Rice.
Okay, Jerry Rice is number one. He is the leader in this here category.
Okay.
When it comes to receptions and receiving yards over the age of 40. He has 93 receptions over the age of 40 and over 2,500 yards over the age of 40.
Wow.
The other two.
Give them to me.
Tom Brady.
What?
For a total of 6 yards. He has one reception. And the only other one with negative 2 yards receiving.
Okay.
Brett Favre.
No kidding.
So Jerry Rice is.
So two quarterbacks. Wow. I knew it was something like that. I knew it was like a quarterback's got a pass or something along those lines.
Jerry Rice, over the age of 40, caught 93 passes for over 2,500 yards. The only two other players in NFL history to catch a pass while being 40 years old or more are Tom Brady for 6 yards. Literally everyone else who has a total of 0 yards receiving over the age of 40. And then there's Brett Favre with one catch for negative 2 yards over the age of 40.
That's incredible.
And Tom Brady would have had more. It was in one of those Super Bowls, I think.
I don't think so, because he dropped the pass in the Super Bowl that was wide open.
That's what I'm saying. He would have had more if he would have caught that
one. I think the
one
that he caught was actually a regular season game last year, maybe.
It was. Yeah, I think it was just a random bullcrap 6-yard play where Tom Brady's catching it. But how incredible is that? Jerry Rice, 93 for 2,500. The only two players to catch over 40 other than Jerry Rice is Tom Brady and Brett Favre. Brett Favre of which, who has less yards receiving over the age of 40 over every other player in the history of the league, most of which have never even caught a pass over the age of 40. So hats off to you, Brett Favre. And sadly, I know this is doubling down, but here we go. Brett Favre made another appearance in the show.
Mama gave me 8 of them flapjacks. I said, Mama, take away 5 of them flapjacks. I want to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
God, it gets better and better, my friend. Now, was that pretty strong, though? Wasn't that a pretty cool stat?
That was a fantastic stat. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Now we move right into the Shine 9. Adam Shine, the man who uses more hair gel in the business and also at one point said, the Jacksonville Jaguars are America's team. Just absolutely a boneheaded statement. So the majority of the time, Shine 9s are pretty bad. So if that's the case here, I apologize. But how bad could it be to pick 9 players in the NFL that are under pressure? We're finding out here in just a second.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're grading on a curve here because it's Adam Shine.
So do we agree or do we disagree? 877-881-1053. The 9 players under the most pressure. We start in number 9.
I think we all agree that Adam Shine puts far too much LA looks in his hair.
He does a lot.
Each and every day.
He's also a bit of a schmuck, but we love him dearly, and he provides us decent content.
And he is your Jewish brethren.
He is, so therefore I've got his back. Number 9, and this is a player that I think Eric cannot stand, but he is under some pressure. Because his career could go down the tubes without a successful season, considering it's a contract year for this individual.
Is it a quarterback?
It's a running back.
Oh, it's a running back who's in a contract year?
Yep, and his team did not pick up his 5th-year option.
Oh, this is Leonard Fournette.
It is Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, this is strong. This guy should probably be in the top 10 because I think that... And I don't know if there's really anything Leonard Fournette could do this year that would allow him to...
Stay healthy?
Stay healthy would certainly help. And then just be a better player. But you're on the Jaguars.
Such a bad
team. Yeah, like you have no real reason to be any better than you've been over the last few years. So that's tough, man.
Last night, this came up with Kevin in conversation. And, You know, I made the point of, regardless, I just don't think Leonard Fournette's going to get himself a good contract next year.
I mean,
look at what Melvin Gordon, who I think is a better player, what just happened with him. And Melvin Gordon also had some nicks and in injuries during his career with the Chargers, but there was no trade market for him, and the Chargers didn't bring him back, and then he signed a pretty much a mid-level deal with the Broncos. I think that's similar to what Leonard Fournette could be looking at, maybe even a lesser contract.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the style of running back you want these days. And I would almost make the argument any running back who hasn't gotten his second contract, hasn't really gotten paid, unless you were a first-round player, which Leonard Fournette is. Like, Leonard Fournette, even if he never gets another contract,
top 10 pick,
still got a solid one to start things off. Most running backs don't get that luxury, and I would say almost any running back who wasn't a first-round pick and didn't get that first-round money and hasn't gotten their second contract yet is under some pressure.
So here's another one. Aaron Jones did not get first-round money, is seemingly finally hitting the peak of his career, had a great season last year, is entering a contract year this year, and the Packers did just draft a running back in the second round by the name of A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, yeah, A.J. Dillon, and that was a weird one. That was like a seventh-round pick kind of talent that they took really, really early in the draft. But I'll buy. And before we even get further into this, I'm curious if you have guys on the top of your mind that are like that have pressure, because I think there's different ways to look at it. Like Tom Brady, in the grand scheme, big picture, he doesn't have a ton of pressure because he's already the GOAT. He's already the man, and it really doesn't matter what happens next. But in another sense, it's like, well, if you really want to prove that you were the most important part of the Patriots dynasty, you matter more than Belichick, all these different things, then there is some level of pressure there. So it's kind of a weird way to put it. Like, I think the guys who haven't proven anything,
right,
like Baker and Josh Allen,
yes,
now have a
I'm
bunch
with
of
you.
Talent around
100%
them.
100% I'm with you on those, too. And those two aren't on the list. I think Baker and Josh Allen have to be in terms of pressure in 2020. Although Josh Allen, I mean, the Bills might not be looking to move on, but I think that the Browns very likely could be. You got T.Y. Hilton, who's on here, which I don't necessarily agree with, although he's in the final year of his contract, but I think T.Y. is going to cash in. Von Miller is on here, which I disagree with, because, look, I guess Von Miller could be a cap casualty is why he's on this, but Von Miller has already made bukus of money in his career. He's a fan favorite in Denver. He's a guy that's going to end up being in the team's Hall of Fame. He's a future, maybe a future pro football Hall of Fame. I don't think Von Miller has much more to prove. I agree with number five, and that's Jimmy Garoppolo. Heck, they were talking about maybe bringing Tommy Brady in. If Jimmy G falls short this year with the 49ers, who are locked and loaded, they could be looking again to improve upon him if they have the opportunity pretty much every single offseason. I think Jimmy Garoppolo certainly has to try and win over the 49ers a little bit with improved play this year.
Yes, because literally if he makes the one pass in that Super Bowl, they win it. Like, it all comes down sort of to the wide open play. I think it was Emmanuel Sanders,
yep,
running pretty much wide
open. And he overshoots
open
him by about 5 yards.
And he overshoots him. And this is the same 49ers team who's been outspoken about the fact that they were kind of interested in Tom Brady not only before they traded for Jimmy G, but this offseason.
And Kyle Shanahan wanted Kirk Cousins, and that fell through.
Also,
and that's
true
why they made the move for Jimmy G.
Yeah, yeah. What would have been interesting is if Jimmy G wasn't on the contract that he's on, and he was maybe a little bit easier to get out from under. If
but
they
now that contract's
wanted
not looking that bad.
No, it doesn't look that bad, but in terms of like what it would have taken to get rid of him this year, I think
just
it would have
been decent.
Just to make
the play for Tom.
But just to make the play for Tom, or even a guy like Cam Newton. Like, I wonder,
yeah,
if Kyle Shanahan, who's a forward thinker, one of the best offensive minds in the entire league, if, like, he probably wants a mobile quarterback these days, too. He probably understands how much that helps. He's had a taste of RG3. I bet he would like to have a mobile quarterback. Jimmy G's not a mobile quarterback.
No, he's not. Juju Smith-Schuster's on this list. He's in a contract year. Patrick Peterson, also on this list as well, because I believe he's in a contract year as well, and it does seem like he's in the Pro Bowl every year, but I don't agree with Patrick Peterson being on here. Khalil Mack, because of all the big money he's getting, and now he has Robert Quinn on the other side, and he had a bit of a down year for Khalil Mack last year, but number one after signing with the Patriots, it's Cam Newton. Not only are you playing for your future, but you're also now the guy who's most likely going to beat out Jared Stidham and have to now take the reins for Tom Brady as quarterback of the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I think that was sort of an underrated storyline on this. Shout out to Cam for being willing to take that on. You know, being the guy who takes over for Tom Brady, not an easy thing to do. And that's a fan base right there that is the expectations are through the roof. So if you come out of the gates and you struggle, they are going to not let you live it down in Boston. That's for sure.
All right, there you have it. Oh,
down to the 3-1-8. Oh my God,
man!
Nice
real good
timing.
Fart.
We almost
real
wow,
good
we
fart. Oh, Ian Poulter, that was a good one, buddy.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.